When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a Bronx favorite returning to talk about his treasured holiday traditions and the cozy Italian side of TikTok. He is a chef, entrepreneur, sweater connoisseur, and competing on Beat Bobby Flay Holiday Throwdown. It's Christian Petroni. Christian, welcome back to the podcast. We figured out that exactly 100 episodes have passed since we last had you on. So I guess, what are some highlights from the past couple of years?
My gosh, man, that is a loaded question.
I know.
I feel like
so much has happened. I feel like I've learned
so much, so much. And oh my God, I don't know where to start. Damn, I mean, you know, I'm a restaurant guy from day one, and the last few years I have not been, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like really, really different. And it's been by design. It actually, you know, it came about obviously through unfortunate circumstances, mm-hmm. and, you know, business partners and all that kind of stuff. And it gave me the opportunity to sort of really go all in on happiness and fulfillment and doing what we want, trying to get what we want out of this world, right? And supporting our family at the same time, you know? So I sort of went like all in on trying to get a cookbook deal, working on this frozen food concept. What else? I mean, just like making content. I took this little studio here in Port Chester, New York, and was like, I remember I walked in and I was like, all right, we're going to make, you know, this is going to be for making content and writing the book. And then you walk in, you're like, how do you make content? How do you edit? How do you film? You know, and it was like a good year of like throwing spaghetti at the wall, like here by myself in the studio, like trying to see what sticks and what works. And for me, one of the most exciting things was sort of like naturally being able to evolve into my own style of how I want to portray myself to the world. And mm-hmm. specifically, you know, being a first generation Italian American, I learned also in just the past few years what a unique lens that is on the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful for it. So a big part of everything I do is sort of like always ties back to my childhood, growing up in the Bronx, you know, being there with my two, you know, technically off the boat Italian parents, right? And experiencing what that meant, you know, not just culturally, but like just food wise, right? Dinner at home every day at 5 o'clock. It just parlays beautifully into my message for me and what I want to put out in the world. And it's reminding people of these little traditions or these little dishes from the New York side, right? And then summer would roll along. We, you know, weren't a wealthy family, to say the least, right? So we would go to live with Nonna on the island of Ponza, off the coast of Naples, technically a province of Rome, but we speak Neapolitan, right? And and in those months or in that month and change, experiencing like the real, like where my mother's home cooking style sort of came from. And it was like these two very different worlds that I got to live in. And what was so funny and interesting about it was like where I was on 241st and White Plains Road, it was, there were a couple Italian families. And then it was predominantly like Jamaican, Guyanese, Puerto Rican. So all of my friends that I went to St. Anthony's school with on Richardson Avenue off White Plains Road would all go back to their families, whether it was in Guyana or my best friend Daniel Murphy was from Belize, right? And they'd go back to Belize and my friends would go back to Jamaica and I'd go back to Italy. And then like we'd all converge, you know, first day of school. And we were all, you know, a good part of us were out of the country for most of the summer and it all seemed normal. You know, and until now, I realize how fortunate I really was to be able to have that sort of lens provided to me, living with my Uncle Louie and Nonna, my mother out there and just experiencing that. So that's like fast forward to now. All those experiences, all that food from both sides of the pond that I want to like really get behind and put forth into the world.
I mean, you've been doing that and it's been so fun to watch because I remember we had that first conversation, you know, like I said, 100 episodes ago, and you were telling us all those stories about your summers and those memories and just to kind of see the evolution. You know, you mentioned throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what stuck. Well, I mean, from my perspective, what stuck is you know, kind of cooking just these Italian dishes in your cozy sweaters and your Bronx accent and really just telling stories about food and in your memories. What do you love about this outlet and this newfound social media, you know, fandom and stardom?
Stardom makes me nervous. I love you.
That's my word.
No, I think that we're all so lucky. We're so lucky. I used to say that we were lucky for social media for me as a chef, because I could see what, you know, chefs and cooks that I read about or looked up to or restaurants I went to, you can see what they're doing in real time. Like, what a beautiful, you used to have to buy a cookbook or a mag, you know, and I still love those things. I want to tell you about my cookbook. These are all beautiful things, but those used to be the only ways to sort of get out there and see what was going on in the world. And now it's like, oh, Chris Bianco's making artichokes today. Like, I would have never known that. You know, like, I get to see it. And you get to like be in, it's like inspiration overload, right? Mm-hmm. And so I used to be just grateful for that opportunity. And as that all evolved, where now we all get to really go all in on showing the world what we do, right? And what makes us happy and hoping that it's not even hoping, but, you know, maybe in the hopes that people are going to see it, be inspired by it, want to follow, want to, you know, like sort of keep all these for me, culinary legacies sort of going, right? Like I did this video like a month or so ago with this like Italian almond syrup that we grew up with called orzata. Mm-hmm. And my dad would, or my mom would just get a glass of ice. You put this almond syrup in there, some seltzer water, you know, so we always had cases of seltzer water. Mix that up. And it was like, that was a big part of like my childhood. Like we weren't drinking like Coca-Cola's and stuff like that. And like, if we were going to have like a soda type treat, it was this orzata, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to like make this
quick little video, you know, of me making this drink and seeing how many people had that same exact memory and haven't even thought about Orzata in 20 years. And mm-hmm. like, where can I get it? I'm going to go at people going on, you know, Amazon ordering Orzata. Then you get tagged and, you know, for the next 2 months, like people making that drink. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's really cool for me. Right. Even like something I did recently did these like sweet potatoes that my mother would, it was like my only cooking responsibility on Thanksgiving. Was the tab, the brown butter, the tab of butter, the brown sugar, the tab of butter on these sweet potatoes. And they, you know, my mother's sweet, but to me that my mother's sweet potatoes, they're so simple. And so I do this reel, and then like over Thanksgiving, you get tagged on like 100 different people that made it. And you're looking wow. at it on their dinner tables and you're like, you nailed it. That, like, it's like looking like it's like my mother went to your house and made you these potatoes. Like, shout out to Fiorella. Good for you, sweetheart. You know, it's so cool. It's so cool. Even like frying leftover spaghetti or leftover like rigatoni. And mm-hmm. and that was like my favorite after school snack. My mother take the leftover pasta, usually like a rigatoni or a penne that's been sitting in its sauce, you know, from the day before, al dente. Long distant memory, right? And you get a nonstick pan, olive oil, lay out these rigatonis, get them nice and crispy, and like the best snack ever. And making that video and people being like, yes, yes, that was my favorite after school snack. It's very cool. I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, no, it's such a cool way to connect with fans and find those, you know, commonalities, like you said, from your childhood. And it is like taking a little stroll down Christian Petroni's, you know, childhood lane, I guess. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of your holiday traditions as well. But you are on a very Italian episode of Beat Bobby Flay Holiday Throwdown. This is a Feast of the Seven Fishes episode alongside Alex Guarnaschelli, Antonio LaFaso, yeah. and Michael Simon. For anybody who's unaware, can you first just explain the tradition of the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
Yeah, the Feast of Seven Fishes, in short, is just a very traditional Christmas Eve Italian dinner, right? As far as the detail of it, I got to assume, you know, the fish situation was probably something to do with religion. So there was no meat that day, you know, maybe the day before Christmas. I don't know. I just know.
You that, just show up.
I show up to my T. Rosa's house in Rybrook, New York every Christmas Eve my whole life. And we ate fish. It was a fish dinner, right? And that's my tie and my love and reverence for it. I'm sure there's a history to it that doesn't need to be exactly seven fishes. Could be four fishes. Could be 14 fishes. It's just, you know, they call it the Feast of Seven Fishes.
When you're talking about just these times in restaurants and these memories, how does that compare to when you're on set, especially for Holiday Throwdown? And what are some of the similarities and differences between the two?
Well, first and foremost, grateful. And I'll say it every time, all day, every day, anytime I'm shooting, grateful mm-hmm. to be there, grateful for the opportunity to take essentially the only thing I know really, right, is like, you know, the food and the cooking world and restaurants, and being able to do it in that way. I'm like, you know, like shout out to Food Network, obviously, because, you know, we were just talking the other day. I was on set. We were just talking about my first time being on television on Food Network.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Chopped, right? Chopped season 4. Which was like 100 years ago or so,
long time ago,
long time ago, right? And going on, competing on that first episode and winning that first episode. And I forget the timeline exactly, but I believe what I was told is I was one of the first contestants on that show to be invited back to guest judge an episode, which turned into, what, 10 years? Oh my God. Like, wow. I don't know, like a long time, right? and from that moment, from then to now, anytime I step foot on a set, anytime I get to do what I do on Food Network, it's really like, it still blows my mind, like every minute, you know? It's just grateful for it.
What was the vibe like on set for this particular shoot with so many talented Italian chefs? You've got Bobby, of course. What is the atmosphere like in a situation like that?
Everybody wants to win. Especially Antonia. Oh my God, Antonia, I love you. If you ever find yourself on a set preparing to compete and Antonia Lovato is in your vicinity, you should be scared, honestly. You should be nervous because there's probably no one in that room. There's probably no one for about 5 square miles that wants it more than Antonia, right? So then like, at the same time, being on the set with Antonia, Mike Simon, you know, Guarnaschelli, who else was there that day? And obviously Bobby. I mean, geez, it's very cool because I can truly say that every person on set that day are people that I truly admire before I even got to become close with them and friends with them. And the support that I got from my Food Network world when I was losing my restaurants and just, you know, the Voltaggios and the Greenspans and the Guys and the Bobbies and the Antonias and there's so many. Rocco, like, they helped me get through some of the hardest times of my life. And so that just piles on to being grateful to be on that set with these folks, right? Mm-hmm. But for the holiday episode of Feast of Seven Fishes on Beat Bobby Flay, having all these incredible chefs around you, how is this work? I don't know how we can even call it work. It turns into the best day ever, and it's great.
What do you like about the holiday throwdown version of Beat Bobby Flay versus the classic?
I mean, the classic is so right. It's so good. It's executed so well. The gameplay is so on point that any spin-off version of it is already starting on such a solid, solid, solid foundation, right? And then this holiday version, I really feel like, because this is my second year doing this, and what's great about it is that now you have even more awesome talent in the same room. And everybody wants to win, but everybody's still having fun. Everyone's still busting each other's chops. You know, I call Bob, and it comes out naturally. It's like, I call him Bob, you know, hey, Bob. And he gets such a kick out of it. And it's like, you know, so then you start really, you know, hammering and, you know, calling him Bob and giving him a hard time. And he's such a great, you know, sport about, you know, he's so good, you know, and like the whole experience is just one of my favorite things to do, whether it's the holiday special or I'm blessed enough to come in as a co-host. Like, are you kidding me? Like when I started doing Bobby's show and I started doing Beat Bobby Flay, I did many, many appearances as a judge, which is so awesome. And when, you know, he pulled me up and brought me up and gave me a shot to host, it's like, you know, it comes from Bobby, you know, and he gave me that opportunity. And it's just like, incredible. It's incredible. Like the day I hosted with Meredith from The Office. Like, are you kidding?
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding?
I would have died.
Are you kidding? I did for about 20 seconds. I did. You know, like, come on.
We need to host one together.
How did that not happen, actually?
I don't know.
Like, seriously.
Let's get Bob on the phone.
Come on, Bob. Yeah. FaceTime Bob, somebody.
When we come back, Christian talks about the holiday traditions he looks forward to every year and later reveals his favorite Italian restaurants up next.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Last time we got to talk to you about all of your favorite Italian, you know, kind of summer traditions. What, like, Christmas and holiday traditions do you look forward to this time of year?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's so much any specific traditions. There's so many little things, you know, here and there that we do, but everything changed recently in recent years, right? You get married, things change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You get one kid, things change a little bit more. You get that second kid, you're like, whoa, things are pretty different at this point. And for me, I'm always looking when the holiday season comes along, I chase that feeling that like that magic, it's like that magic holiday feeling. And I chase it however I can. And not even, it's a very organic callback when I say the one tradition that really, really, really hammers in like, yo, it's Christmas, is Seven Fishes Christmas Eve at my Tizzy's house. We call, you know, Tizzy's house, Sia Rosa, my beautiful mom and dad, all of us just, you know, having just the best memories on Christmas Eve was like, for me, was like the big one. I'm seeing my cousin John, who's like my first cousin and like, you know, a brother. And even to this day, sometimes, you know, sometimes you can have a hard time finding that feeling, like you're really looking for it, you know, and everybody's busy. The world's a crazy place, whatever reason it is, right? You know, I really try hard to put myself in that spirit. And walking into Tizzy's house on Christmas Eve is always the final push of like, here you go, kid. Here's a little magic for you. The smell, the fireplace going. She does this like eggnog that is just so strong. And we're not like eggnog people, you know? Like, we're not like, you know, we didn't grow
up. I think this time of year, though, it's just like, I'm not an eggnog person either. But for some reason, this time of year, I'm like, yeah, I want some.
I love, you know, all those like embracing those, whatever you call it, American type traditions that like weren't super predominant in our lives, but like, we had cool parents and cool aunts and uncles, and like, you know, that would expose us to some different stuff, right?
Yeah. I thought for sure you were going to say, and I might be saying this wrong, struffoli.
Struffoli season. I think I post at least a couple times a year, I post the same picture, which is actually from the Beard House, like a dinner I did 100 years ago. Which is like a pile of struffoli with like my favorite spoon on top of it. And it'll be the middle of summer or the most random times. And I'll just post that picture and I'll be like, just wake me up when it's struffoli season. Please just wake me up when it's struffoli season. And for, you know, the cold weather,
the fall leading up to the cold. Like, these are like my favorite times. So that, like, for me, this means Struffoli season, right?
What is Struffoli, if somebody doesn't know listening?
Struffoli are like these little fried balls of dough that are soaked in honey and get covered in like nonpareil, like little sprinkles, right? Mm-hmm. Very simple. You know, I remember being in grammar school, St. Anthony's, on our birthdays, you know, your parents come and like bring cupcakes, you mm-hmm. know, and stuff. And one year, for some reason, my mom brought Struffoli instead of cupcakes. And I was just like, so like, wow, what do you want? Why are we having Struffoli for my birthday, like at school? And it's like, so it's like one of those just home style, very simple desserts that it's a special thing. And it hits a very special note in my heart. And it comes around during the holidays mostly.
Yeah. And they are, I mean, like, you see that photo. I know exactly which photo you're talking about because I've seen it obviously, you know, many times, but it does feel magical. You know, you've got the rainbow sprinkles and it just looks so cozy and magical. Like you said, this time of year is so magical. And I feel like we get a lot of those like cozy feels from what you share on your social media.
Oh, well, you want to talk about magical during the holiday season as well. There's nothing more hectic and beautiful than Arthur Avenue during Christmas time.
I love Arthur Avenue.
You got lines out the door for, you know, Mike's Deli to see David Greco. You lined out the door at Calabria, Casa di Mozzarella, Borgatti's, Terra Nova, Adeo, like everyone just stocking up. And you got these, you know, horse and carriages going up and down the street. Like, you know, like the whole thing is so magical. And like Arthur Avenue alone is such incredible magic place. And at Christmas time, it's sort of like, you know, dialed up a little bit. Like if you haven't experienced that, you know, you really should. You really should just get out to the Bronx, go to Arthur Avenue and just walk around, walk into the shops, say hi to the folks. Like it's a pretty special place. It's a very special place.
It really is. It was one of the first dates that I had with my partner, Justin. We met there. I was still living in Connecticut and it still is like, holds such a special place in my heart. Like all those shops that you mentioned are like all must stops. You've got to get the raviolis. You got to bring home some mozzarella and all the things. What about red sauce joints up there? Where do you go? Because I feel like
second. Hold on a second. Rewind. Whose idea was it for first date on Arthur Ave? His or yours?
His.
Shout out to him. Very good move, my friend. It seems like it might have worked.
It did. Yeah, we're still together smart. 7 years later.
Very smart. He's a smart guy. I like that. Very. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. Now I'm back. I apologize.
No, I appreciate it. I'll have to have him listen to a shout out. No, like your red sauce joints. Where was your favorite one? Because there are so many available on Arthur Avenue, off Arthur Avenue in that area. And, you know, they all kind of have their own little special something.
My favorite restaurant on Arthur Avenue is Roberto's. Roberto is an absolute neighborhood legend from Napoli. Roberto's is not necessarily red sauce. Roberto's is, you could describe it as like the only fine dining restaurant on Arthur Avenue, but it's not like, you know, snooty. It's just a really incredible Italian restaurant. If you ask me my favorite red sauce restaurant, it's actually, you got to go a little further up into Yonkers to Silvio's.
Okay.
Silvio's in Yonkers. I can't even tell you the street. Somewhere by the White Castle. Like, I don't know. Downtown Yonkers. But besides the fact that Silvio is an amazing human being, a neighborhood sort of staple and so good to his community. When you want to talk about red sauce, when you want to talk about red sauce staples made the right way and backed up with, you know, hospitality and love and wanting to be there, Silvio's in Yonkers. There's a picture of Silvio's van on my Instagram right now. I'll pin it so everyone can see it and go to Silvio's. You know, it's just penne vodka done well. Shrimp parm, an absolute abomination to you know, the Italian culture and cuisine. And on the other side of the pond is just one of my favorites in the whole world, right? His, you know, from the chicken parms, his focaccia, clams oreganata, chicken marsala, for whatever marsala you like, and with that deep brown sauce with the mushrooms and sort of running through it with a potato croquette, and just looking at it and just saying like, yeah, like I love Silvio's. Like that's that's what I'm talking about. Dessert is your choice of a tartufo or a tortoni, you know, the little almond ice cream in the paper cup with the cherry on it and the shaved almonds. I mean, Silvio's focaccia is so light, so beautiful, like the top of a creme brulee, crisp, but on the bottom, and then like put like a cloud on top of that. Silvio's focaccia just is beyond reproach, as my friend Carl Ruiz used to say. It's just absolutely perfect.
Wow. All right. Well, if that's not on everybody's list immediately, I don't know what you're doing.
But Jamie, and also places like that are like disappearing, man.
Yeah.
People like Silvio are not around anymore. And there's so many great gems, whether it's an Italian restaurant or your favorite Indian restaurant or a taco stand. There's so many gems that, you know, you don't see them on social media. You wouldn't really know when you walk in there, and you're just like, this needs to never, ever go away.
You know, you talk a little bit about how you're not in restaurants anymore, but you do have your garlic bread at Yankee Stadium, which I think is pretty cool. What was that call, that moment like?
Man, that was wild, Jamie. That was wild. There was such a long road that led to that, right? From being out of the restaurants and literally making garlic bread out of the back of a pickup truck, wearing commercial ovens, like gave me a couple of free deck ovens, and hooking those up to a generator and like doing pop-ups in parking lots, right? Mm-hmm. Selling the garlic bread. And that evolving over a couple years into launching it on Gold Belly, which was so exciting, right? Mm-hmm. And then the day Gold Belly goes live, to get a DM from the Yankees, they're like,
they
like,
DM'd you?
Yeah, Matt Gibson. An incredible human and incredible chef was like, can we talk about doing garlic bread at the stadium? And I was like, can you shut your butt? Like, are you kidding me? Like, oh my God, you know? And going down there, working it out with the team, the culinary team at Yankee Stadium, it was supposed to originally be one concession up in the 300s, which we have. And then that evolved into like getting one right next to like Bobby and Marcus on the main concourse, and being having the Petroni name like on screens and signs in Yankee Stadium. Very crazy for me. We grew up not too far from the stadium. My dad, you know, was a construction worker, a carpenter. He had his side gig with the vegetables or doing carpentry stuff at folks' houses, and like currency was like, in the Bronx back then, it was like cash and Yankee tickets supplemented with it, right? And so we never, ever paid for Yankee tickets. We always went to games. We always, maybe sometimes we had good seats, sometimes we had bad seats. It was like whenever we got tickets, we went, you know, sitting down in the original stadium and like getting the helmet with the ice cream in it, right? You know, uh-huh. And just like, or even parking in the parking lot under the L, under the highway, which was under the Deegan, that original parking lot, mm-hmm. where they used to do farmers markets also, and parking your car and walking through that tube. There was this tube that went from that parking lot to the main sort of outdoor like courtyard of Yankee Stadium. And you walked into that tube and it was a very specific smell, but there were very specific sounds of people excited walking to the Yankee game. There was a gentleman who was always playing the flute in that tunnel, right? And like, get a little emotional thinking about it. Being with my dad, you know,
Christian, you're getting old. You had a daughter and a son, and now you're crying every 5 minutes. Making those
memories with my dad.
Oh, making those memories with my dad. Even today, when you can get like the right combination of smells and sounds that mimic that tunnel just a little bit, and you're like, you're transported back to a Yankee game, walking into the stadium, right? So. To be doing anything with the Yankees, but to be selling garlic bread in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium, that was wild, Jamie. That was wild.
What would that 8-year-old Christian who's walking through that tube to get to the Yankee game think of now, Christian having garlic bread for sale at the stadium?
He'd probably be a little bummed that he wasn't selling helmets filled with ice cream, but it's beyond belief, right? Like, I grew up in an environment where we were taught that we can do anything. My parents came to this country, they figured it out, and like anything is possible at that point, right? But TV notoriety outside of our neighborhood was never something that I was actively looking for, right? So like, yeah, I don't know. It just wouldn't have ever been a thought in my mind. And it just still blows my mind to this day. Just and the doors that it opened for me when that first Yankees press release went out before opening day, that I was gonna, you know, Christian Petroni's garlic bread is a newcomer to the stadium. It's just everything changed for me that day. And, you know, you're talking to the most grateful guy ever.
Another iconic thing that you were a part of since the last time we talked is the living art installation in the windows of the original Barney's for Louis Vuitton, making mozzarella sandwiches. I mean, like, which one was better, the Yankees call or that one?
Dude, it's like there's a gentleman named Rob. His graffiti name, Rob 1970. Rob was from my neighborhood of like the Bronx, like Yonkers area, New York. And he started a streetwear brand that is legendary to this day called A-Life, right? Mm-hmm. Rob is an amazing artist, visionary, just very, really great guy. And I was already just honored to like be friends with Rob, right? Mm-hmm. And we did some cool projects together. I was in a book that he did with Puma. He's always been so good to me, right? And he calls me one day, a few months before Christmas, randomly, and he's like, Chris. He's like, if you had a window in Barney's to do an art installation, what would you do? And I remember it like, I'm so confused how my brain works sometimes. I did not even hesitate a second. And I just said, mozzarella sandwiches. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know how I would go about it. But I was like, I said, mozzarella sandwiches. I go, I would pull mozzarella and build something around that. And then, you know, getting a call like a week later, like, yo, let's do this. And I got to do a window during Christmas at the original Barney's for the Louis Vuitton.
Iconic.
They were doing this and the best part, I don't have to serve one customer, right? It's crazy. And so I set up this window. I had like 2,000 loaves of bastone, which is my favorite, like Italian bread with the sesame seeds. And I set those up in there, and, you know, hundreds of branches of dried Sicilian oregano. Called a bunch of my friends, and Dickies decked us all out in all white. Nike got us all sneakers. You know, we were all wearing Air Force Ones. And we did an art installation pulling fresh mozzarella for Louis Vuitton in the original Barney's during Christmas time. It was...
That's insane.
It was really one of the...
insane to say out loud.
I forget sometimes, and I'm like, oh my God, did that happen? Right? And yeah, that was just the best. Just the best. What an experience. And so grateful for people like Rob, you know, like, mm-hmm. like it's,
without folks like that, giving folks like us a shot to do something absolutely insane is like, you know, I say grateful too much, man, but it's like, I can't say it enough. I really can't say it enough.
Well, speaking of which, what's next? What are you looking forward to in 2024?
Oh, 2024, guys. 2024 is going to be the result of literally 2.5 to 3 years of seed sowing. You're going to see a lot with my garlic bread. You're going to see the launch of my first book with HarperCollins called Palm to Table.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, man. And I'm going to be able to not just highlight everything that I talk about when I talk about growing up in New York City and in Ponza, Italy, but I'm also going to be able to highlight friends, the people that inspire me. And there's other things that I can't even talk about that I can't even believe are real, like in the vein of like that Louis Vuitton expo. Like, I'm not going to lie, Jamie, it's been a really hard couple of years, right? Going all in on yourself is a hard, scary thing, especially when you have a family that is looking to you for support, right? And I go back to like my wife, Sherry, believing in me. Like when you realize when like you're lost, at least I would have been lost if my wife didn't believe in what I and we were trying to build. And I know that it's hard. It's been very hard for her. It's been hard for me to be able to put forth the version of myself that I want the world to see and what I want to build my company around. Right. Mm-hmm. And to see it, that's why I say, you know, seed sowing, 2-3 years of seed sowing of building relationships, being like almost just like annoyingly consistent on an idea, right? And identifying those forks in the road that occur when you're trying to build something, that it'd be very easy at those forks to just say, I'm gonna go take a job. I'll take one of those restaurant investors. Let me go open a restaurant, one of these guys, and veer off the path, right? The path of what, you know, the goal that you set for yourself 6 months, a year, 2 years earlier. And only because I'm in it, if anyone takes anything from all the words I'm throwing at you, it's like, if try to be able to identify those moments when you hit those forks. And it's not going to be one of those forks. It's going to be a few of them. And like stay the course, man. You know, stay the course and believe in yourself. All the cheesy things you hear only start to make more and more sense as you're living it. If it was easy, mm-hmm. everyone would do it. Stay true to yourself. I mean, name 100 of them. They're all like, oh my God, they're all, yeah. It's like, you know, you don't listen when you're younger. You're like, you know everything. And it's just like, I love learning. I love evolving. I love learning more about myself. I love trying to be better. It's really important. I want to be better every day. I'm trying to lose weight and it's so hard. I struggle with it so bad, dude. You know, and it's like, I want to do it. It's all I think about. But God, I love eating pizza specifically at like 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I got to stop doing that. I got to go to Scars. Like, go to Scars for lunch. Don't eat Scars pizza at night. Yeah.
Love Scars. Well, I am so excited to see all of these seeds that you've been sowing grow into beautiful, beautiful trees that are around for a very long time. So best of luck to you. And it's been so great catching up. We are going to finish off with a few rapid fire questions. And then we have one final question before we let you go. All right. Sneaker you're putting on most these days.
Oh, my God. I'm rediscovering stuff that I haven't looked at like in years. So that's kind of my rotation. Well, my current rotation right now is like these crazy Air Max Mountaineers from 2020. We got Action Bronson, New Balance collab here. We have Concepts, Orange Lobsters. We have Neck Face, Nike Dunks. That's sort of like my current like rotation.
Okay.
And
And like, yeah, sneakers are a problem. I know you're supposed to be quick fire. I'm sorry.
That's okay. sneakers are a problem in our house as well. So
it's an issue.
I feel you. Ooh. Yeah. Actually,
Send
Justin.
Me your size.
Yeah, I will. He started buying me sneakers so that he could, you know, sneak his purchases by me a little easier.
This guy is on point. He is like very, listen, if I wasn't blessed enough to have just, you know, great relationships where sneakers, you know, gratefully show up, my wife would have kicked my butt out a long time ago for the amount of sneakers that are in the studio, at the house, in storage. It's like, oh my God.
All right. Key to perfect pasta sauce.
Quality ingredients and love.
Mm-hmm. Most used app on your phone.
Splice.
Last thing you had to Google.
Well, now I use ChatGPT for that.
Oh, there you go. What's the last thing you searched on ChatGPT?
The last 1,000 years of the history of Ponza in under 10 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Incredible. Music you always listen to in the kitchen.
Mana.
If you weren't a chef, you'd be a what?
Jamie, I've wanted to be a chef since the first grade. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. All right, our last question is not rapid fire, and you have answered this before. I doubt either of us remember what your answer for this was, but I also thought it would be fun to maybe take a little bit of a holiday approach with this one. So the question we ask everybody is, what would be on the menu for your perfect food day? So we want you to take us through breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. You know, it's your day. There's no rules. You can travel, time travel, whatever you want to do. But so let's keep it in the holiday theme.
Donuts and coffee from Coffee Ann in Westport, Connecticut.
Okay. What kind of donuts?
They fry all of, like, specifically, like, their crullers and their, like, fritters. And their chocolate glazed, like, cruller is my favorite. And even though it's, like, a 30-minute drive from where I am, I love Westport, Connecticut during Christmas time because it's like this one part in Saugatuck where they I think Big Al de Guido like covers it in Christmas lights and like lights it up. So like specifically during Christmas time, I'm like, hey, babe, like let's take a ride up to Coffee Ann like before they close, you know, later part of the day and just kind of like hang out around there. And it's one of my favorites for and that's breakfast. But that'd be like my favorite breakfast.
Okay. What about lunch? What are you doing for lunch?
Lunch is probably a Sicilian slice from Sorrento's on Williamsbridge Road near Morris Park in the Bronx, cut in a diagonal with a cream soda. That's been my favorite lunch since I was a kid. So the Sicilian from Sorrento's with a cream soda.
And what are we doing for dinner?
Silvio's.
Okay, so what are you getting at Silvio's? You're getting the shrimp parm or are you getting something else?
Yeah, you're obviously going to start with, you know, baked clams and fried calamari because we're not animal, right? Some eggplant rollentini, shrimp scampi, all part of the, you know, stuffed mushrooms, you know, the hot and cold antipasto game. Then obviously penne vodka, Silvio's focaccia, chicken marsala, shrimp parm, and a huge platter of potato croquettes, a pitcher of Gogogol, also known as Coca-Cola.
And are you happy?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And dessert on this epic food day.
Dessert, my father's Zabayon.
Okay. What is Zabayon
was, Jamie, I thought that my father invented it. Okay. So we would go upstate New York hunting as kids, and my father would bring like buckets of nails and different, like, you know, power tools that he had extra, you know. I don't know how he found these things. He always found them around the house, I guess. And we'd go up to these farms up in Columbia County, specifically like Bobby. I remember Bobby's farm. Bobby's farm was just like a couple thousand acre dairy farm. My dad would, this guy Bobby was the farmer, was the sweetest guy. And my father would give him like a couple buckets of nails, tools, and he'd let us like go hunt on his property. And when we would leave, he always gave us fresh milk. Like the outside of that jug of milk, Jamie, smelled like poop. Okay. It's not like a farm. And this milk was like, oh, was like dessert. Right. And we would get fresh eggs, which were harder to really come by back then. Like you couldn't go to a supermarket and get like these crazy, like free range, beautiful, nice packaging, $24, you know, a dozen eggs. Right. Like, so that, you know, coming back home from those trips, that would be the only time that my father would make us a dessert called Rovesh Batud, right? And Rovesh Batud is the very, very Neapolitan way of saying beaten eggs, okay, right? And he would take the hand blender, he would take a couple egg yolks, add some sugar, maybe a teaspoon of like Marsala wine, and he would whip it up until it was like frothy and creamy and dense and light and all so good. And we would eat it with little espresso spoons, right? And he wouldn't say that he didn't invent it, right? But so years later, learning about Zabayon, which is egg yolks, sugar, beat over a double boiler with some sort of wine, I was like, Dad?
Wait a minute.
You did not. You silly goose. You didn't invent Rovesh Batud. But that right there, no, listen, some of that Zabayon poured over a piece of panettone is, you know, is really incredible. Or a pandoro. I love a pandoro. So, yeah, my father's Rovesh Batud.
Well, that sounds absolutely perfect. And it was so fun getting to catch up with you, my friend, especially around the holidays. And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Jamie, we all love you. We love seeing you. We love hearing you. And grateful, right? Again, just grateful to talk to you. Thank you.
And a reminder, you can catch Christian on Beat Bobby Flay Holiday Throwdown December 12th at 9, 8 Central. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.